Thank you for joining us this morning. Our guest today is James Parker, Executive Director of ASCOPS. And for those who don't know what ASCOPS is, can you please tell them what it means?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. ASCOPS is Arizona Conference of Police and Sheriffs, and we are a statewide organization with over 100 affiliates statewide. We look out for our membership as far as their due process rights. We are their lobbyist, their legal plan, and anything that they need assistance with, we help them.
Very cool. So how long has ASCOPS been around?
We were founded in 1997, so we're going to hit 25 years next year.
Wow. Very cool. Okay. Tell me a bit about the mission statement. Do you have a concise mission statement? I know you're there to help law enforcement.
Well, to be honest, we are here solely for the purpose of making sure that their due process rights, they continue to receive their due process rights. Compared to what we found is the criminals had more rights than officers do. So we want to make sure that
that's true.
When an officer is being accused of something, that they have the legal protection and the same opportunities that any other citizen of this state would have.
So today's environment, everybody's attitude towards law enforcement, how does ASCOPS feel about that?
Well, it's kind of strange, because if you really go out and talk to the citizens in the counties and the towns, in the cities, it's the people respect their law enforcement and want them there, especially in our smaller towns like we have Yavapai County. I've talked to them before, and they said they have no issue. Their public loves them. Where we have the issue is when you get into the mayors, the city councils, and some rogue chiefs. That's where the stress comes from this job.
And I'm going to go from way back, years and years ago, when a law enforcement agency is hiring and they're looking for a chief. Why is it they put the net out to the whole nation instead of promoting from within?
Well, sometimes, and this is just my opinion, sometimes I think it's has to do with political reasons. They don't have somebody that fits their bill, so to speak. If the council wants a certain thing, I'll take Tucson, for instance. The council at the time wanted somebody to come in and rearrange the Tucson Police Department, and they found that in Magnus. We had some good, I think we had good candidates right on the department to take over that job.
Yeah.
When Villasenor left, I think there was ample people out there ready to step up and take the job.
Plenty of talent, and they know the area. They know what's going on. You bring somebody in from the outside, they don't know the area.
No.
They don't know what needs to be done internally.
They have no investment in this community. They have known nothing about our community here.
Yeah, that's so true. And I just have never understood, why are you bringing somebody in from the outside unless your entire police department is totally corrupt?
Yes.
There's no reason for it.
I agree.
So, okay. What about trying to hire people? I mean, you're on the inside. Have the agencies had a hard time finding qualified people to hire and take over?
I think with the climate that's surrounding law enforcement today, they are. It's happening. It's not just statewide. It's throughout the country.
Nationwide.
It's nationwide. It's difficult. You can't find the qualified applicants, from what I'm seeing, a trend is happening is where they're lowering the standards, and that's a recipe for failure.
We had a deputy on about a month or two ago from the East Coast, and he said they get paid $10 an hour.
Wow.
I can't imagine living on $10 an hour.
Well, if we look back, what was it, in the 90s, where New Orleans was having such a hard time with officers were committing robberies, murders, hits.
Yeah.
They were making $7 an hour at the time.
So there's sometimes you know, you're creating the problem that you're trying to get rid of.
Yes, and even though, if you look at it, the money's not always the issue either. If you can't afford it, that's one thing. But take Tucson, for instance. I hired on in 1991, and I think 7-8 years prior to that was the last time they had a raise. And then still, we didn't get a raise until late 90s. So you probably had 15 years of no raises. But if you have, it gets frustrating, but if you have good leadership and you have the backing of your leadership, you can overcome that. It's when you have poor leadership, I don't care what you pay someone, they're not going to stick around. Tucson just got a pretty hefty pay raise, and you still have officers leaving because one officer said, there's no support here, and I'm not going to work for an agency that doesn't support you.
And if you have a mayor that doesn't support you or a city council that doesn't support you, then, you know, why bother?
Exactly. Why? And some people are just getting out of law enforcement altogether.
And going where? What are they doing?
Private sector. Doing, you know, Costco. I mean, I know some people want to go work Costco, QT even.
Wow. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
You get better, more respect and better pay.
Less stress.
Less stress. Oh, that's so sad. How do you feel about, and I don't know if it's happening here, but defunding the police? I know some agencies have defunded the police. I'm like, okay, how's that working out for you?
I don't think it's working out too well, but if you look at it, they're all defunding you in some way. In Tucson, I don't care where you go. Because what they'll do is they'll cut programs, and then when people leave, they don't refill those positions. They don't refill, they don't rehire. And now all of a sudden, once you had 1,200 officers, now you're down to 900, but you're still saying, no, we're at staffing levels. We're at maximum staffing levels because you've cut out all these jobs.
What kind of jobs have been cut out?
I know they've changed, I think the gangs have been changed to like a gun control, or I don't know exactly what the name of the unit is now, but they've done that. Or I look back to when I was on, they had an issue with stolen vehicles. So what they did, they brought a sergeant or a lieutenant in, and they changed the FBI stats. So it looked like there was less car thefts because they reclassified it. They would reclassify the damage.
So they're going around the corner to get across the street.
Yes.
Wow.
See, look, we have less car thefts here. We have less GTAs. But we have more criminal damage. They would state it. They would list it as a criminal damage if you damaged a car, the column, or you could very well see that through the investigation they tried to steal this car. Well, it's not a GTA, you know.
GTA is Grand Theft Auto.
Sorry about that.
Just in case. That's all right. I'm getting used to it, actually. So, what does ASCOPS do to help the law enforcement? I mean, their benefits are being cut for the police, all agencies. Now, ASCOPS covers all agencies, right?
Yes. We have federal, we have state, we have county, and we have local cities.
Okay. What kind of benefits do you offer them through your program that maybe their agency doesn't offer because they cut the program?
Oh, offer them legal assistance. So if an officer's involved in a shooting, let's say, if you're out there and you don't have legal coverage from an attorney, the city's going to send out a city attorney, but that city attorney's out there for the benefit of the city, not right, to make sure that you are taken care of and your rights are, you're afforded your rights. They're out there to make sure the city's not at any risk or liability. So we take care of that. We have attorneys that are on call. So if there's any critical incident, that we send an attorney out to those people.
Are they local in Tucson, or are they in Phoenix?
We have them all over the state. We have I think 30 attorneys throughout the state. So we have Tucson, Phoenix, Cochise County, Yavapai County. So we're
everywhere.
So we try to make sure we have enough coverage for all of our members out there.
Are there any cases that you can talk about where an officer was being treated unfairly?
No, not right now. I can't.
Okay. Just thought I'd ask.
I've got a couple, but they're in the process of going through. We can't talk about
that. We don't talk about current ongoing, but it's good that they know there's somebody there to help them. Now, if somebody's not a member of ASCOPS, how does that work? Can they come to you?
Well, they can come to us, but they're not going to be able to receive the legal package right there. So we can help them up to a point to where, you know, I can help administratively or help them through what they're going through. And if they need an attorney, sometimes we can get them to an attorney at a discounted rate, but ASCOPS will not pay the bill for that.
So if something happened, they were involved in an incident and they're being accused of something, can they after the fact join ASCOPS?
They can, but they would not be covered for that incident.
Okay. So you need to join now before the car is
kind of like getting in a wreck and saying, hey, I need my car fixed.
Exactly. Yeah. So I know you have a huge amount of members. How many members do you have?
We're at 3,000 right now.
That's a lot of people.
And we're growing.
I understand that you're growing really quickly, too.
Yes.
So where's the headquarters for ASCOPS?
We have an office here in Tucson, and we also have a Phoenix office.
Okay. Are you in charge of the Phoenix office as well?
Yes. But I have an office manager up there as well, and I have an office manager here. But as the director, I run the day-to-day operations.
How often do you have to go up there?
I try to go up at least once every 2 weeks or once a month. It just depends on my schedule.
And what's going on?
Yes.
Are you still employed with the department, any department?
No, I retired in 07 from Tucson.
Okay. From Tucson Police Department.
Yes.
And how was the temperature, the attitude in 07 towards law enforcement?
When I left, we had almost 1,200 officers. And to be honest with you, I know it sounds cliche, but there wasn't a time I didn't want to go to work.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed it. But then again, my last 7 years of my career was on a bicycle. So, I mean, who can you get paid to ride a bike, you know?
I think I've seen you. I recognize your face. Okay. So after people leave, you're talking about them going to like Costco or QT or something. I know from experience that being in law enforcement is more of a calling. I mean, this is something people really want to do, and they mostly enjoy their job doing it. Do any of these people work like maybe part-time in some type of security sector? Do they keep their foot in the door?
Well, some do. I mean, some go to loss prevention and run, and I know one guy I know runs the Costco loss prevention. So, I mean, they still do. They still hold ties to it.
Costco has secret shoppers?
Maybe.
I did not know that. Okay. Okay. I know a lot of people feel, and I hear it on the news all the time, and it just makes me want to pull my hair out, that law enforcement, they get away with everything. They, you know, they can commit a crime and they just get away with it because they're law enforcement. What do you say to that?
That's to the contrary. You get, as a law enforcement officer, you get hammered harder than a normal citizen because you're held to a higher standard than you should be.
Right.
I mean, you think about the money that the cities and towns and pay and invest in the officer, $60,000 to $100,000 to have an officer start from day one to where they're out on their own. That's a lot of money to invest, and you're trying to pick the best and brightest and someone with integrity and character. And when you make a mistake, they make you pay dearly for it.
Let's talk about Minnesota. Are you okay talking about the case in Minnesota?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. For weeks and months, all you saw on the news was this officer kneeling on this guy's neck. And it wasn't until closing arguments, I just happened to be home, turned on the TV, and they showed the first 15, 20 minutes prior to this man being put on the ground and being held. And in my opinion, the officers did everything right. And, you know, he was saying he has claustrophobia. He said, well, I'll open the window for you. Despite the fact that he was asleep in his own car, he can't get in your car because he has claustrophobia. And he started saying that he couldn't breathe as soon as they put the handcuffs on him. And I was just really appalled that all these months went by and they never showed what led up to that incident. Not that kneeling on his neck was the right thing to do, but there was a reason for it. How does ASCOP, or how do you view that situation?
Well, I think the issue that I had, I was a defensive tactics instructor for 10 years, and we've never taught somebody to kneel on someone's neck. And as far as, we've had issues out on the streets when I was working that if somebody's upset, not handling the issue properly, we step in and intervene and take, hey, why don't you move over here? I'll take care of this guy for you, or I'll take care of this. You know, we kind of looked out for each other, and that that was missed here. Mm-hmm. There's a big opportunity for those officers that were out there to maybe step in and say, hey, let me take care of this. You've had a you've had some issues with this man before. You've had a history with him. Let us get involved here and step him aside. And who knows? I mean, he was, you know, they said he was dying anyway from fentanyl.
Oh, he had a mouthful, yeah. That photograph, a yeah. mouthful of pills.
And would it have mattered? Probably not. But when we deal with the public, if they're telling us they're in some type of medical emergency, or they're claiming they can't breathe, or something's not right, you call for meds, you call for medical assistance. And we didn't see that happen. And I think that's what got him in a lot of trouble, is that they did not render aid to that man. And in my opinion, they should have.
Yeah, absolutely, they should have. And the two rookie officers, he was training them, so they spoke up, but they didn't.
They didn't act.
Act,
and they should have. I mean, whether you're rookie or not, you still should yeah. act.
The 9-year-old little girl knew, you know.
Yeah,
outstanding. That was a sad situation.
This whole thing is should have never happened.
But this whole thing is what America is painting all law enforcement with that same brush. And it's just so not true.
And it's unfortunate, because it's not. If you look at things, I mean, we look back. I started in my life in the military. 3% probably didn't belong in the military. You go in the public sector, maybe 3% don't belong in the job I was doing in the public sector. Then you come to police department, maybe there's 3% that don't belong wearing the uniform.
Right.
And I think we need to do a better job in the academies, instead of pushing these people through because you need bodies. When you see an issue in the academy, to deal with that issue.
I know for
a fact that people have been pushed through the academy when trainers have said they don't belong here.
That's unacceptable.
And I think that's some of the problem.
So how are they going to solve that problem when they need bodies?
I still think you don't lower standards. You still stay true to what we do. You still find the people with integrity. You still find the people with character. And you still hire those people.
Even though your numbers are low, but you can get a better job done with quality people than hiring somebody who shouldn't be on the department.
Correct.
I wonder how the person, that I can't think of his name, up in Minnesota, I wonder how he did in his academy. He was not, he was a trainer, so he had to be there for a while.
That I don't know. I didn't look to see how far back. We didn't get into it that much and that deep.
Yeah.
I think they maybe should have. They could have looked. Maybe if they look back and see, maybe you have something that was leading up to this. How was he? What did his IA record look like? I mean, was he
apparently
excessive
he had
force?
A lot of complaints.
Yeah.
So that's too bad. They should have done something earlier. What kind of training? You know, you said you did training. What kind of training do the law enforcement need? I know a lot of agencies say we never trained anybody to kneel on somebody's neck. So, you know, they're talking about, let's defund the police or let's retrain everybody. What is your opinion?
Well, you don't train somebody to put your knee on the neck. That's true. But if you're in the midst of combat or you're in the midst of trying to take somebody down, that's going to happen. But as soon as you recognize that, you need to step back and tone it down. And you just use the force that's necessary to deal with the issue. And that needs to be kept driven home every day. Every time you're at the academy, every time you're talking to training, AOT or advanced officer training, teaching this. And I know, and they still do it now, they're teaching officers to not go to the ground and try to teach hands-on, more hands-on. Trying to keep you from doing hands-on. And I think that's going to get a lot of officers hurt, because now they're second-guessing. If I do this, my agency's not going to back me. Because when we were doing this job, it was, I ask you to do something once. If you don't, I'm going to make you do it. You don't keep telling, especially somebody that
pretty
you're
please.
Doing, yeah. Especially if you're doing somebody that's being aggressive, you tell them one time to do something. And if you keep playing with them, it's not going to turn out well for either one of you. And I think that training needs to be embedded in these officers. And I know, I get it that not everybody's been in a fight when they come to the academy. So that's where we as defensive tactics instructors would take them to the ground and just see how they reacted, because they need to know that they can survive. So we didn't teach people, we tried not to teach people how to fight, because you can't I mean, it's difficult. You don't
have
the time.
You're not out there to fight.
You don't have the time to do that. Yeah. You try to teach them how to survive and take control of somebody and then take care of the situation.
So, okay, take care of the situation. I think when I watched that videotape, the 15, 20 minutes prior to him being put on the ground, I think they did everything right until he was put on the ground. And then everything went sideways. And it's just really sad. Now there's a group of people out there that think that social workers should be answering some of these like domestic disturbance calls or active shooter calls because they say that a social worker can do it better. What do you say to that?
That's a big mistake. And funny you should bring this up. I was contacted the other day by someone who said, they gave me a case number and told me to do a public records request on this, is that they did send, Tucson Police did send social workers out to a call. And I may be wrong. This is what was told to me, so I don't know this is fact until I see the report. But they sent two social workers out to deal with an individual that's had mental issues before, and he took one of them hostage. And so I'm waiting to get that public records back. So we can see what's going on, because I have not seen that on the news yet at all.
No,
so that's why, you know, you kind of take what somebody says to you.
With a grain of salt.
Yeah. But when they handed me there's a report out of the Tucson Police Department. There's a report on this out of the Pima County Sheriff's Department. So I did a public records request on both of those reports.
Yeah, and these people aren't trained to handle situations like that. And it's scary.
They're not armed. You can only talk so much to someone. Just like we always said, you can't talk to an intoxicated person. You can't reason with them.
Or somebody who's on drugs.
Or on drugs or having a mental breakdown at the time. You can't reason with them.
And you think about it, all these high-profile cases across the country, the person was on drugs, selling drugs, had illegal weapons, use of weapons, and everybody's like, oh, the poor soul, he's, you know, got seven kids, and trust me, if he loved his kids, he wouldn't be on drugs. He wouldn't be using, you know, weapons illegally. And, you know, I don't care how many kids he has. This is wrong. He's not father of the year, let's face it.
Well, they say if an officer tells you to put your hands behind your back, put your hands behind your back.
Yeah, easy.
Or let me see your driver's license. Okay, hand it to him.
Yeah.
If you've done nothing wrong, you have nothing to worry about.
What is the protocol for when somebody gets pulled over? What should the person being pulled over do?
Even myself, I would just leave my hands up on the steering wheel.
So
they can see my hands.
Yeah.
And roll down my window. If my windows are tinted, so I'd roll down all my windows. Like when I go through a checkpoint for the Border Patrol, I roll down my windows so they can see inside my vehicle.
Yeah.
And I think you do the same thing with them. Keep your hands up. Put your windows down so they can see in the vehicle, and, you know, don't reach for anything until the officer tells you to.
And then tell them where you're going to reach.
Yeah.
Say it's, if it's in the glove box or it's in your purse or whatever. So let them know what you're doing.
I mean, it's just common courtesy and common sense.
Common sense. There's something that hasn't been used in a long time. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few.
This is Amy, a volunteer with Pima County Search and Rescue. Before you head out, turn your location app on in your smartphone, then power that phone off until you need it. In an emergency, you will need a fully charged phone.
This is Deputy Chuk with Pima County Search and Rescue, reminding you that infants and toddlers do not experience heat as adults do. Consider this when bringing your young ones on a hike in temperatures of over 80 degrees. You do not want to risk that child having heat stroke or being arrested for child endangerment.
It's Mark from Law Matters, and I'm asking you to join us in our 1030 campaign. 1030 is code for unnecessary use of radio. Keep our radio show free from unnecessary advertising by visiting lawmatters1030.org and click the 1030 campaign button. Your monthly tax-deductible donation of $10.30 will allow us to broadcast public service announcements instead of advertisements. Visit lawmatters1030.org and sign up today.
This is John, a volunteer with Pima County Search and Rescue. Planning a day hike? Start hydrating a few days ahead, bring plenty of water, sunscreen, a first aid kit, and proper clothing. It's the smart thing to do.
Hi, this is Sherry inviting you to join Law Matters live show every Saturday morning at 8. On our next show, and you won't want to miss this, we have an exclusive interview with the original Dick Tracy. We can't do the show without your support. Please join our 1030 challenge by making a monthly tax-deductible donation of $10.30. For more information, go to lawmatters1030.org. Law Matters podcast can be found on iTunes, Google Play, and lawmatters1030.org.
This is Colleen, a volunteer with Pima County Search and Rescue. If you are hiking with children and pets, you need to carry the extra supplies they can't. Remember, 1 quart of water per person per hour, and when it's half gone, turn around and start down.
Deputy Chuk here with Pima County Search and Rescue. If you're thinking of a trek through nature, plan ahead, look ahead, and use your head. Your future depends on it.
Thanks for staying with us. Our guest today is James Parker, Executive Director of ASCOPS. And tell us again what ASCOPS stands for.
Arizona Conference of Police and Sheriffs.
Okay, we've been talking about today's environment regarding law enforcement. It seems to be a national thing. It's not something that's just local. I think every local community has their own things going on. I want to know about the Brady List. Explain to our listeners what the Brady List is, and then how does ASCOPS approach the Brady List?
Okay. Well, it's been called many things. It's been called a disclosure list. It's been called an integrity database, and it's been called a liar's list. But all it is a disclosure list. It's a rule 15.1. And what it came from a 1963 case with Brady versus Maryland, where the government's withholding of evidence that is material to determining guilt or punishment of a criminal defendant, it violates constitutional rights to due process. So the prosecution was withholding evidence that could have helped Brady in this case.
Wow.
So if, for instance, if a officer has done something that violates an integrity issue, it's incumbent upon the prosecution to disclose that information to the defense.
In any case.
Yes.
Yeah, know, that's yeah. Pretty remarkable.
This is back in 1963, too. So
okay.
That's where a lot of our case law comes from. Back in the
okay. A lot of people feel that, you know, law enforcement gets away with stuff, and we know that's not true. How do you go about changing that opinion? Because any good law enforcement officer, if there's a bad law enforcement officer out there, they want them gone more than you do.
Oh, yeah. We don't want bad cops working with us. It gives us a bad name.
Exactly. So how do you deal with it?
Well, if they've done something wrong and they go through the process and their due process rights have been granted to them, and they go through their civil service, they go through the appeals that they're allotted, and they get terminated. That's how the process works.
Okay, I've heard some cases, especially in the height of all this, you know, drama that's been going on in the last year, some officers were fired on the spot without due process. What happens with them?
They still can go back and do the appeal, because what they'll do, the attorneys will step in and go to the appellate courts and the superior courts and file paperwork on that to get their due process rights reinstated.
And have any of these officers ever been reinstated because of some legal glitch?
Yes, but then usually they end up messing up again, then they end up gone. Or what the departments will do, they'll put them someplace where they can no longer go on the streets.
Yeah.
They'll sit them at a desk, or they'll hide them away.
If you're sitting at a desk, typically it's because you're being punished.
Or you're on light duty. But we have
explain light duty so our listeners know what light duty means.
Well, most of the time it's if an officer gets injured on the job, and let's say they've been out due to surgery or rehab or anything, they can come back and sit basically a light duty desk job, answering phone calls, taking reports over the phone.
While they recover,
and once they recover, they go back on the streets.
Have you had many of those?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had to do it. So
yeah, what happened?
I blew my shoulder out. So
how'd you do that?
Defensive tactics. So, yeah. Many years of getting the arm twisted and thrown and, you know, just, you know, beaten up, and it just finally gave way one day. And so they put me on light duty, but that's what retired me.
Oh, wow. So. That had to be sad.
Yeah, because I only had 17 years on at the time, so I wasn't ready to go, and it's not the way I wanted to go out.
Yeah, a lot of people hesitate to retire because they enjoy the job.
Yeah, yes, exactly. But so, I wanted to get back to something that you brought up about officers just getting fired on the spot. And I can talk about this. This is in the Court of Appeals, and we won there. We had an officer that was on light duty. He did all the right things to go on vacation. He had to contact his supervisor. It was all proof for vacation. He goes on vacation. Well, they wanted to get in touch with him. Well, he wasn't here. He was on vacation. They fired him for job abandonment.
And then
they would not give him his due process, right? They would not allow him to appeal it. So we had to go through the court system. We went to Superior Court. Superior Court, for some reason, would not let our attorneys argue the point. So we had to go to the appellate court. We won at the appellate court, and now it's being kicked back down to the courts again. So technically, this agency can sit here and say, "Hey, Jim, you're on vacation, but you just did job abandonment. We're going to fire you now."
And that happened here in Tucson?
No, not in Tucson.
Okay.
So I don't want to give that out. So,
yeah, don't worry
but
about
it's
it.
that's
ludicrous.
Some of the stuff that we deal with as cops and our attorneys deal with.
It sounds like it just fell through the cracks, and
yes,
Peter wasn't talking to Paul.
And that's the thing where now they try to put him on the Brady list because of his job abandonment, because he just left the job. So is that an integrity thing? We don't know. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. He did what but that's where we had to step in, and with the Fraternal Order of Police and the Arizona Police Association, we got together as cops. We all got together and tried to revamp Brady, not in so much as that where it affects the constitutionality of it. We can't do anything about that. That's written in stone. But what we could do is make sure that our officers have due process rights throughout this. So you just get thrown on Brady without any notification. That's what was happening.
That's wrong.
We had an officer and this happened here in Tucson, 5 years on the or 5 years later, he goes to court, and they said they found out he's on Brady. He had no idea he was on Brady.
That's life-changing.
Yes. We had another one, and this was in Casa Grande. He was on Brady, which the chief decided to keep him, let him continue working. But when that chief left, the new chief came in, you're on Brady, you're fired. And we lost that. But this will alleviate that, the new bill, because if you're on Brady, and they can fire you for the underlying issues why you're on Brady, but the sole reason for your termination can't be because you're on Brady.
That sounds like abuse of the Brady list.
That's why we all got together and tried to get a
fix
fix it and get due process for officers, because they had nothing. The county attorney at the time, I think it was Montgomery, wouldn't let you come in person, wouldn't let you fight it. All you could do is send him a letter saying why you don't belong on Brady. They wouldn't reinvestigate anything, so they took whatever the departments gave them as, you know, gospel. And if your letter didn't persuade him one way or the other, you were done. There is no appeal process.
Because the Brady list is nationwide.
Yes.
So that means you can't go anywhere and do your job and that's abuse of the list.
Yes.
You know, I don't like John Doe. I'm going to put him on the Brady list and screw with him.
Because he had a spontaneous utterance.
Oh.
So when we've had that before. And that's what I liked about the chief when I was there, when all this was coming to a head. He says, Jim, we're not going to put anyone on a Brady list for a spontaneous utterance, because everybody, that's your self-protection.
Yeah.
Now, if you put it on paper, or you in an investigation, or you put something in a report, you're done. I said, we can agree with that. Because if you're going to lie in a police report, you're going to lie
anywhere. Yeah.
So if you don't have integrity, then you don't have integrity, and we can't fix that.
Wow.
So that's the kind of stuff we were trying to stop.
That's
it was used as a weapon.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because if we can, And you have somebody like Magnus, who loses at civil service. He tries to fire you, so he gets three bites at the apple. He gets civil service. He gets Arizona Post that holds our certificate.
Okay.
And then he gets Brady. So if he loses two, he still has Brady. And at the time, he can just say, yeah, I think this guy's lying.
You can't prove that he's lying. You think he's lying. It's your opinion. So you're going to put him on the Brady list and
if you can
ruin
sway
his
if you can say, sway the county attorney to say, oh, yeah, we think he's lying too. Well, thinking and knowing is two different things. Or thinking that he did something out of character. If you go out and have a DUI, yeah, they're going to put you on the 15.1 rule list. Because you go to what I'm going to go testify now and go after somebody who's had a DUI.
Yeah, true. It's a whole different set of standards. And I don't think the general public really understands the standards that law enforcement are held by compared to your average drug addict or robber.
There's zero due process rights. I mean, in some places, there's zero due process rights for people. And that's where we step in. We try to change. We've changed stuff down in Yuma County. We've changed stuff in Yavapai County, the way they do business. And that's what we try to do. And it's not that we're trying to take over. We don't want to usurp anyone's authority. We're out there to make sure that the officers are getting due process just like anyone else would.
Right.
Now, whatever happens to that, if you go through your appeals process and you're fired, you're fired. There's nothing we can do about that.
You shouldn't have screwed up.
Yeah.
So is ASCOP, is there an ASCOP in every state? Is there an organization like ASCOP's in every state?
No, we're Arizona specifically, exclusively in Arizona.
So other states don't have a program like yours?
They do. I'm sure they do. I know Nevada does. They have their Nevada Police Officers Association or whatever their state, and I don't know what their state affiliation is. But we deal with this Arizona only.
Okay, we've been kind of fortunate that we don't have riots unless we win a basketball game or something. We don't typically have riots in Arizona around here, but they have had gatherings. I don't know if you want to call them gatherings, peaceful gatherings. How does the temperament and the attitude, how does it change when you're working a riot situation?
Well, you're on a higher alert. You're kind of watching out for each other. They have different, I guess, training issues, our training levels. We had a mobile field force that we'd use for the big riots, so like when U of A won in the 90s, and we'd go down in 4th Avenue. Then when I was in the bike unit, we were trained a little differently. We'd trained to like use our bikes in front of us and don't let them go past us and that kind of thing, and just keep them out of the streets. And now I understand they kind of let them take over the streets, which I don't understand that. But
yeah, what's the point of that? Let them take over.
Yeah, and what, so they can destroy everything.
Yeah, we've seen it on the news, Portland and Seattle, where they just ruin the city. And they don't want us judging all of them by those few people who are ruining the city, yet they're judging all law enforcement by the activities of maybe a couple.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me.
Well, that's maybe why I never became a chief, is because the first person that climbed a pole during a riot, they'd have been taken down. I'd have had them removed and arrested. The first person that toppled a statue would have been in jail.
Now that's going on this morning.
You just have to take control. That's our job. Our job is to protect the citizens out there, not to let these people run roughshod over the community. And that's been lost somewhere.
January 6th, were you watching? I was watching TV when all that happened.
Yes.
It was just appalling.
Yeah.
Tell me all the things that went wrong.
Where do you start?
I know. It's like...
Well, from my understanding, after watching everything, they knew this was going to happen. They knew this was coming. The FBI knew it. Why didn't they give help to the Capitol Police? Why wasn't there reinforcements? Why? We can ask why all day long. That's something I don't understand. And then they're criticizing some officers for letting some of these people in. Well, you're standing there by yourself you've got 500 people or how many, you know, there's more than one.
Yeah.
Yeah, one or two you can deal with, but you know, you got 100 that's coming through. What are you going to do? You can't stop them all. So you got to do what you can. You got to look at one thing. That's property. It's not somebody's life. That's property. You don't, you know, your life's not worth that property.
True.
Now, I wasn't sure if they were in session. I'm pretty sure all the congressmen and senators got out, but that would be a different story if they were still in there. You know, I mean, that's you. Then you defend them with your life. That's your job.
Yeah, that was a horrific situation.
Yes.
And I don't understand why more hasn't been done with what's gone on and, you know, some of the things that are happening. They weren't defending the law enforcement people at all.
No.
They were accusing them and blaming them.
Well, they're blaming the officers. They're blaming the rank and file for the incompetence of the upper echelon.
Yeah.
That's how it always is.
Unfortunately. Yeah. You know what they say, guano rolls downhill.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. What would you have done in that situation?
To be honest with you, I mean, I can't.
You just court. Look
I want
at
Monday
it,
morning
like,
quarterback. It's like, what do you do? I mean, you try to make sure that your fellow officer is not getting injured. You try to protect each other at that point. If you have no reinforcements, you don't have anyone to come and help. You look out for one another.
And all these court cases are still going, and they're still arresting people and putting all the videos together. So it's not being ignored. It's just not in the. It's not in the open news.
Yeah, it's not in the news, and what they say, 14,000 hours of
video
that they're not releasing. And
so do you feel, you know, they'll say, okay, we want to see the video and put it out there right away. Do you feel that's the right thing to do?
I think you have to let the investigation proceed. You don't let, while there's an ongoing investigation, you can't let that
trial by media.
Yeah, you can't have that happening. You can't let the information out. You can't try it. Like you said, you can't try this in the media. You have to do it the right way.
And the officer in Minnesota, that was totally tried in the media. And what frustrated me was how slanted everything was. They made it sound like he got up that morning and he planned to go out and, you know, kill somebody.
Yeah.
And that's obviously not what happened.
Correct.
But you need to watch the video before, because all of them were very polite. You know, we're going to accommodate your claustrophobia. Everybody, and I find it hard to glorify a drug addict in any respect.
Yeah, that's what I have heartache with. Yeah, the man died. I don't want to say he was killed, because I don't know.
I don't either.
I didn't perform the autopsy, and I don't want to. Can't tell you.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's just the whole thing just kind of stinks.
Yeah. Like you said, he didn't get up in the morning thinking, I'm going to go out and kill somebody today.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's actions, you know, each person's actions caused what happened out there and their reaction towards that.
Oh, they're very, you know, all these drug addicts, they're very instrumental in their own demise.
Yes.
And, you know, you can't say any differently. It's there. So, and somebody gets automatically fired. Does ASCOPS automatically get involved, or do you look to see if they're a member?
Well, you have to be a member, or we don't cover it. But yes, we do. As soon as we get the information, most of the time, the majority of the time, we get we're contacted by the leader of the organization, or sometimes we're contacted by the member himself. And they say, "Hey, I'm going to get fired, or I'm getting fired." But we're involved long before that, because we know something's going on, because they've been disciplined. We've already been involved, whether it's through the disciplinary process, or all the interviews. Sometimes our attorney sits in, depending on the agency themselves. Sometimes we can have an attorney sit in with them, and so we're already involved. So once somebody comes to us, say, "Hey, I'm in trouble." And it's, well, is it an admin or is it criminal? We don't know yet. So, well, we tell them, the first question you ask when you go sit in internal affairs is this administrative or is this criminal? If it's criminal, you're done talking. You give me a call, I get you an attorney. If it's administrative, you have to talk or they'll terminate you. That's what Garrity's for. Garrity protects your rights that way. They can't use anything you say during a compelled statement in a criminal matter.
Okay, you said Garrity. Where does that expression come from?
I knew you'd ask me. I didn't know you'd ask me that, but I just brought that just came to my head. And it's another court case where, and I may get this wrong, but if a person goes and sits down and being investigated and interviewed, if you don't speak to them, you're automatically, they'll terminate you. So for a protection, the person started talking and it turned out to be criminal, and they took this and went to the courts and tried him under criminal, and they came back and said, no, that's illegal. You can't do that because that's coming from a compelled statement because of his job. So if it's a compelled statement for your job, if you don't talk to us, you're fired, hence a compelled statement, then you're covered under Garrity. So if you say something that's criminal within that, they can't use that if they decide to go criminal on you.
Isn't that how Bill Cosby got out of jail?
You know, I didn't follow Bill Cosby at all.
He said something.
Not one of my fans.
Yeah, me either. Okay, is the process, like if you're in the corporate world, you get taken into HR and they write you up, then you get taken into HR and they write you up. It's like three times and you're out. Is the process like that, or does it depend on the gravity of the situation?
It depends on the circumstances and the gravity. If you're, as we call them, frequent flyers, you're eventually going to be terminated.
Frequent flyer.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've had a few of those.
And you wonder, what were you thinking when you applied for this job?
Yeah. Well, then what they do is if they have an issue with somebody that it's performing that poorly, they put them on a performance evaluation. So if they don't meet certain parameters within, say, they have 6 months, then these officers have signed this paper saying that I'll abide by this, or there's going to be more severe punishment up to and including termination. So they give them chances because, they said, the difference in a corporate world compared to the police world is, you know, the background checks, you know, everything. I mean, I'm sure they're in the private sector it's the same way, but they spend a lot of money invested in you to be this officer. So if they can change your behavior, that's basically what discipline is. We need to change this behavior, unless it's too egregious where you're terminated. We just need you to go. We don't need you here anymore. Because then it becomes a liability on the department.
I was going to say, there's liability.
Yes.
And this isn't, you would think they'd be able to do that all the way up the chain of command.
You'd think.
If you're not performing the way you should be, see you bye.
Yeah. Be nice, wouldn't it?
So what happens with when the city council or your mayor doesn't support law enforcement, yet uses them like their personal security team? What happens to the attitude and the atmosphere of the police department?
The morale continues to decline.
Yeah.
Then I think, and we discussed this earlier, I think the mayor is just trying to be relevant here because she wants to be, she wants to further her aspirations in the political career, but she wants to look at the larger cities like New York, Chicago, those places where they have their private security. They drive them around everywhere, and you know, she wants to make herself relevant. So I think that's.
Does she have a private security team that drives her around?
She used to have. So I think they cut back. I think there's only one or two people that are still her security. Now, I don't know if they're driving her. That I can't answer, but I think she'd like to have that. I think she wants to be relevant in some way, and she's not right now.
It's unfortunate. Okay. There's so much I'd like to say right now, but I can't. It's just crazy. How do you promote as cops? How do you get people to join law enforcement? Because I know we've got a few listening. What do you tell them is the benefit of joining as cops before the dent in the car?
before the in custody death, before the shooting.
Yes.
A lot of it now is, when we started in 97, we went out, we would go to different towns, cities, and do recruiting drives. We still do that. However, most of that's done within the departments now because we have Phoenix, we have Tucson, we have Cochise County. So what they do is they'll, as new people come in, they talk about ASCOPs. They they call us, they go to our website, and they call the office and talk to me. And it's, and we go out and do, we have a convention every year that we invite people to.
Where's the convention held?
Our convention this year is going to be held in Prescott at the Prescott Resort.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
What's your website? We're going to try to figure out what we want to do for our 25th next year, but got to deal with this year first.
It's going to be a big one, yeah. 25th.
Yeah, we got to do something.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah. What's your website so people can go to your website and check it out?
www.azcops.org.
And cops is plural.
Yes. And there's the thing too with ASCOPS is you have to be a member of already a participating organization. We don't take just individuals because we can't help them. Let's say something happens.
I can't join.
No.
I'm not with a law enforcement agency, so I can't join.
Correct.
I'm feeling a little left out, but okay.
I'm sorry.
So you have to be, how about security companies?
They have to be AZ Post certified. So we do, especially when it comes to security, like for some of the federal stuff, they're law enforcement. You have to be law enforcement. Security officers aren't considered law enforcement within the scope of what the definition is. So, I mean, we don't go out into the private sector. We don't cover private sector. We don't do private prisons. It's, you know.
Okay, what if you've got law enforcement and he's doing an off-duty job security detail someplace?
He's still our member.
You're covered.
Mm-hmm.
So correct. If something happens.
Yes. And here's the thing, too. When you're working off-duty or you're working, let's say you get sued civilly, because that's what's going to happen to you.
Right.
Your city or town or your insurance that Dillard's has, because I used to work at Dillard's, that would cover you. If it doesn't, we step in and take care of it. We would cover them. So we basically cover these officers and members for everything.
That's pretty remarkable. That's awesome. At least they have that benefit, they can feel comfortable knowing that they're covered no matter what happens.
Yes.
So if you're not a member, you should join.
Correct.
If you're qualified.
Correct.
Because it's an exclusive group of people.
Yes.
Okay. Are you still a member?
Am I still a member? I'm not an officer anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say. But you're in charge of it.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I run the day-to-day operations.
So, and how long have you been doing that?
Well, just this job for 10 years, but I've been involved with ASCOPS since the inception, 1997.
So next year is going to be a big celebration for you.
Been doing union business for over 30 years.
And, okay, we only have like a minute left. So when you say you represent them in your union, you represent them with all legal matters, including creating statute that will help protect them.
Correct.
So
we did, and at the federal level, we're affiliated with the National Association of Police Organizations. They have over 240,000 members with 1,000 organizations, and that's for the federal side of everything. So we have representation for everybody.
Uh-huh. For everybody's covered.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I want to thank you for coming on the show and being with me today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I've been wondering about ASCOPS. What do they do, and why are they here? Now I know. And let's plan a big party for next year.
Hey, sounds good to me.
Okay. Until next week, I want everybody to shop local, stay safe, and don't forget to join us next week. We're going to be interviewing Dick Tracy. You don't want to miss it.